First of all, welcome to anyone who hasn't been to one of these commission meetings before. My name is Brent Hine. I'm the chairman of the Board of Commissioners. We'll go ahead and do a quick roll call for the rest of the commissioners.
I'm Cheryl Livingston. I'm the vice chair of the commission board.
Miguel Rocha, Scottsbluff.
Patty Shanla, I'm from Bellevue. I represent American Council of the Blind.
Good morning. I'm Linda Menting from Columbus. I'm Executive Secretary on this board.
Okay, thank you very much. And now if we can we have, first of all, the commission employees go first, and then we'll have the general public. So start off with Carlos over here.
Good morning, Carlos Servan, Executive Director of the Commission for the Blind.
Erin Green, Area Deputy Director of Services, North Platte.
Tammy Dunn, Deputy Director of Finance.
Lincoln. I'm Amy Burrish, Vocational Rehabilitation Counselor from Lincoln.
Kathy Stevens, Administrative Specialist, Lincoln.
And then, yeah, just go around
okay.
With the general public.
My name is Lily Beth Heineman. Good morning. I attended one of your workforce readiness programs.
Jim Urach, American Council of Blind in Nebraska, one-time commissioner and vice chair of the Blind Vendor Committee Board.
I am Matt Mastin from Lincoln.
I'm Amy Eichmuller, and I'm from Lincoln. I am on the Blind Funding Committee, and
Kathy Stevens.
I went on.
Kathy.
No, she did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
They sleeping.
I'm going to plead with Cheryl.
Unforgivable.
To say it's an early.
Unforgivable.
Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is we have just a comment as far as the public comments. We do have specific periods in which we allow public people to comment. You can comment about anything that we've talked about thus far at that point. Any questions, comments, or concerns, that sort of thing that you may have for the board or for the commission staff. But we just ask that you hold those comments, questions, concerns, etc., for that specific period. Next thing we have is the meeting agendas on there. Ms. Shirley, you want to read the...
Do we want to talk about the notice of the meeting?
That was after that on your list.
Oh.
I'm just going down the line.
No, that's proof of publication.
Okay. Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Public Meeting, Saturday, November 8, 2025.
Okay.
Omaha State Office Building, 1313 Farnham Street, room 227. Omaha, Nebraska, agenda. 9 o'clock a.m., call to order, welcome and introductions, announcement concerning public comment periods, meeting agendas, Open Meeting Act, proof of publication, recordings, and other logistics. 9:10 a.m., approval of the August 1st, 2025 public meeting minutes. 9:15 a.m., report from the commissioners. 9:25 a.m., focus topic, job placement. 10:05 a.m., public comment. 10:20 a.m. break. 10:35 a.m. report from the executive director. 11:05 a.m. newsline update. 11:15 a.m. client assistance program, CAP, complaints or issues. New business. 11:20 a.m. date, time, location, focus topics for 2026 board meetings. 11:40 a.m., public comment. 11:55 a.m., executive session, discuss survey. 12:10 p.m., final announcements. 12:15 p.m., adjournment. And that's it.
Thank you, Cheryl. And
okay,
then Kathy.
You were right once again.
Oh, please. No one's perfect. Lord knows I'm not.
The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, the state government calendar, on the NCBBI website, on NFB Newsline, and sent to Radio Talking Book. The notice was also sent to ACBN, NFBN, and the NCBBI listserv.
And the Open Meetings Act?
The Open Meetings Act is on the back table behind the commission board, and there's also extra agendas in Braille and print on that table. If you would like one, you can raise your hand and I'll gladly bring them to you.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is approval of the August 1st, 2025 public meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, Cheryl has moved. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, we have a second. We'll do our usual roll call vote. Miguel?
Aye.
Cheryl?
Aye.
I say aye as well. Patty?
Aye.
And Linda?
Aye.
Okay, it's been properly moved, seconded, and unanimously approved to approve the minutes for the August 1st meeting. The next thing on the agenda is a report from the commissioners. So what this generally is it's kind of something that started some time ago and went away for a bit and then has come back. It's basically each of us commissioners talk about what we've done since the last meeting when it comes to helping with the blind of Nebraska and so on and so forth. I'll go ahead and start. Since the last meeting, I have represented blind Nebraskans in Canada on a fishing trip. Sorry, did I get that in there?
Hopefully you caught some.
I did. Caught a 39-inch northern pike.
There you go.
So, I've actually been representing what blind community can do in the hotel industry. Currently, I actually switched jobs in September. I'm now the assistant general manager of the Country Inn and Suites up on North 27th Street in Lincoln. That's, a large part of what I do because my job is very demanding. Though I do now, thankfully, have the schedule where I can actually start attending some, NFB meetings and that sort of thing now. So that's something I'm looking forward to. Cheryl?
I am the designee of the Nebraska, the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska. So I serve a couple of roles in the Federation. I have been the state treasurer for many years, and I am also the secretary of the Lincoln chapter. But I've been doing some other things this month. October is the month that the NFB celebrates what we call BEAM, or Blind Equality and Achievement Month. And what that is, it's a celebration of blind people, of our achievements, of our progress, accomplishments, and different affiliates do different things during that month. In Nebraska, some of our chapters held walks for independence, and Lincoln did a walk around Holmes Lake on the 5th or the 4th of October, I believe it was. And Omaha did a walk on the 5th and walked around the Jean Leahy Mall. And Kearney also had a walk, and I'm not sure where they did their walk, but we raised some money and hopefully raised some awareness of blind people. Some chapters gave out literature and tried to be in places where we could meet the public and give them information about blindness, answer questions about blindness, just generate some positive attitudes about blindness. Another thing that the Lincoln chapter did is some members who read Braille got together at a book club or a bookstore in East Lincoln called Sowers, and it's a children's bookstore, and so several members went out there and took Braille books about cats, because the store, I guess, had a cat or two, in-house, and so they read books in Braille to the kids about cats. So I thought that was pretty cool since I'm a cat lover. The other thing that, that our affiliate has done is, many of you probably know about Ski for Light, which is happening at the end of January. It's not affiliated with any consumer organization. It's an opportunity for people to go and experience life on the slopes, you know, skiing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, all those kinds of things. I will have an opportunity to go this year at the end of January, so I'm pretty excited about that. The NFB of Nebraska agreed to donate money to the Ski for Light bus across Nebraska. Ski for Light provides a bus that goes all across the state, picks people up, and takes them to Deadwood, South Dakota for the week-long trip. So we donated some money to that cause. And like I say, I'll be going, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So I think that's all I have for what we've been doing in Nebraska. So, Miguel?
All right. I have attended the NFB of Nebraska large chapter meetings. I attended the cybersecurity and HTML camp that it was, I believe, was in July. Attend the Randall Shepherd Vendors of America meetings. I attended the job prep and search webinars. Also attended the NBE emergency meeting that was due to the insurance premium. And I was designated to be the new blind vendor at the Offutt Stratcom cafeteria. And so, thank you. And so I'm just working through that to get in there. That's what I have.
As I said before, I am the American Council of the Blind designee sitting on the board. I had the opportunity and privilege to conduct two sensitivity trainings with 38O District Lions in Takema and one in Wahoo. And so that is really my passion and why I love Lions, having that opportunity to inform people. You know, so many people think that all blind people just kind of lump together and everybody's just the same. Well, that's not exactly the way we feel, do we? And so I talked about things like that and how to introduce themselves and how to do sighted guide, get more of an understanding of what goes on inside the life of I myself am totally blind. I also attended by Zoom the statewide commission meeting, and that was September 15, 16, 17, and I really enjoyed that. The speakers were wonderful.
Do this.
You want me hold?
Voila?
Yeah. Okay, fix me up here.
Okay, right there. Okay. Since our last meeting, I have attended two NFBN Board of Directors meetings, serving as secretary, three NFBN Senior Division meetings, also serving as secretary, two Friends of NCBVI meetings, serving as vice president, in one Alumni Association of the Wisconsin School for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Directors meeting, where I serve as president. I also met once a month, I can't read, with blind people in Columbus who used to be chapter members. We like to keep in touch. Friends of NCBVI met this past Tuesday afternoon. We added a board member, Michelle Coolidge, who will be helping with writing grants. Erin Brandyberry attended on Carlos's behalf. Friends was pleased to provide snacks for the staff training in September. I would like to thank Kathy Stevens for setting up our Zoom meetings and Carlos for allowing us to use NCBVI's account. Thank you.
I wanted to add my appreciation to NCBVI for sponsoring the cybersecurity camp.
Okay. I also just thought of one more thing that I can add. I did start actually a YouTube channel where it's called Blind VR, where myself and other, blind and low vision friends of mine play, virtual reality games, and then I, for the purpose of maybe, easing any tension that some people might have of, feeling uncomfortable around blind people, I kind of poke fun at us. So it's a lot of blind humor involved that only blind people will get, and some humor that I think anyone will hopefully find funny. And in fact, one of my most recent episodes was kind of reviewing a game called Blind Simulator, which was rather an interesting play, especially since it didn't really simulate blindness at all. and last I knew, none of us actually saw in white grid line when we tapped our cane. So, but anyway. plus, it was all in Chinese, and they had subtitles. But anyway. Just want to add that something else that I'm doing just to kind of not only raise awareness about blindness, but also, help put sighted people at ease with talking to us. So there's that. Next thing we have on here is our focus topic. So I'm going to hand this off, I believe, Amy or someone who's...
Erin.
Alright, good morning. For our topic of job placement, we are going to start with three consumers who are joining us here in person today, and then I have some written testimonies to share. So to start off, I would like to introduce Lily Beth for topic on job placement.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning,
and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Lily Beth Heineman, and like others who have faced challenges in returning to the workforce, I've learned that readiness isn't just about having the right skills. It's about rebuilding confidence, independence, and a belief in your own potential. When you're visually impaired and preparing to re-enter the workforce, the journey can feel overwhelming. You're not only thinking about your qualifications or your experience, you're also figuring out how to navigate a world that isn't always designed with accessibility in mind. That's why workforce readiness programs are so valuable. They don't just prepare people for jobs, they prepare people for possibilities. Workforce readiness gives you the tools to translate your abilities in today's workplace. From updating resumes to improving communication skills and learning how to interview confidently, every session we had added a piece to the bigger picture of independence. One of the biggest benefits I've noticed is how these sessions focus on self-advocacy. For someone who is visually impaired, advocating for your needs in a professional setting is essential, whether that's requesting accessibility materials, explaining how to use assistive tools, or simply having the confidence to say, "I can do this." Just give me the right setup. It's easy to underestimate the power of that kind of self-assurance. But when you feel equipped and supported, you stop seeing visual impairment as a limitation and start seeing it as a part of your unique strength. Another key aspect is the community connection. In these sessions, you're not only learning from instructors, you're learning from each other. You meet people with different levels of experience, different challenges, and different ways of adapting. That shared experience builds motivation. It reminds you that you're not alone in wanting a meaningful career and a sense of purpose. Workforce readiness also helps you to keep up with how workplaces are evolving, especially when it comes to technology. Accessibility software, screen readers, and digital communication tools are changing quickly, and staying informed is part of staying empowered. What these workforce readiness sessions really give us is hope with direction. They turn the idea of maybe I can work again into I'm ready and I know how to move forward. For me and for many others, it's not just about finding a job. It's about reclaiming confidence, independence, and a sense of belonging in the working world. So to everyone who continues to invest and support these programs, thank you. You're not just helping visually impaired individuals get back to work. You're helping us rediscover our purpose, our skills, and our voice. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, next I will introduce Matt for his story.
Good morning, Commission. I am just wanting to briefly introduce you before I get a hold of or go with my little agenda with this. I am from Lincoln, Nebraska. I was originally from Omaha, and I was born with central optic dysplasia, where it is a portion of your optic nerves weren't fully developed in me, where I grew up with that. We're, of course, having to adapt to the world with that growing up and doubting myself where nothing really, I felt nothing could really be a portion of or just help my life in general, where going to high school, then I got involved with helping me with my teaching me how to really be out in the world with actually helping with my vision and just how that worked. Then going into college, I was always doubted or told that architecture, you couldn't really be a person that I could really be utilize that, since it's a very visual degree, where I first started off with a degree that was not really fun and enjoyable, where I ended up just truly like, if this is my place where I want to work, I want to work with this. And finding out that there's a blind architect, his name is Chris Downey, where simply seeing him, where he's completely blind, where he created blind blueprints for the home, for their buildings, where you could figure out all that, and where I'm like, okay, if he can do it, then I can do it myself. And then going through college, where, yes, it took me a little bit longer, but my quality of work was as good or better than other students, which was very surprising, where simply seeing that, then Amy helping me get the proper equipment, such as a bigger screen, college computer screen, or just helping screens help me get programs working. And then now with working, I was, architecture firms were very aware, just very not wanting to hire someone that was blind or visually impaired because they're like, it's very time-oriented where you have to have so many hours to get a project done because of budget. Where I told them, like, yes, it is an issue, but I want to still be an advocate or to still help you, which ended up moving to Colorado for a one firm where they ended up just sticking me to something that wasn't very fun or enjoyable, where I'm like, this isn't worth my time or what I'm really wanting to learn and just enjoy life in a way. And then I decided to move back to Lincoln, where working now at a architect firm that's very smaller oriented of only 10, where it felt like a family, where they actually accepted me, and actually where they ended up buying me larger computer screens and any other items that they needed me to utilize, but then also talking to Amy, and like, this is possibly what I also need, where they couldn't provide because of what they could afford being a smaller firm. Then just simply being in that environment where they were astonished and aware of just seeing what I can do and what a person with perfect 20/20 vision versus what I can do. We always forget that you have a vision impairment because of how good your quality of your work is, and just in general, how do you interact with us and just get around. And so basically with using that as a good advocate with my vision disability, just having the ADA codes of buildings, where just being a self-advocate for that, since that is a huge thing for me, just being well aware of just teaching them of like, this is what you need for a building, or in general, where I'm like, I always think of telling them like, oh yes, this is a code for wheelchairs, but think of people with disabilities with vision. And so with that, I am wanting to implement the ADA codes for people with vision and disabilities and any disability for my future, how I can be an advocate for that for the future. And forgot to mention some things. It's just where I was very unaware of this on a Friday, is that my firm pulled me aside and said, hey, Matt, because you've been only here for almost a year, we want to give you a raise in bonus because of how good your quality of your work is. It's my first time, guys. So, did well.
Yes.
Perfect. And then next, I have the pleasure of introducing Amy.
I'm not sure how to follow any of that.
Sorry.
Can I take a bye?
No.
Good morning, board members. My name is Amy Eisenmiller, and I'd first like to start with where my story began. Growing up, I was a very active, I don't like this word, but normal kid. I was fully sighted. I played four sports. I was very active in life, enjoying life. And at the age of 15, I was in a traumatic accident that caused a lot of issues, one of which, not to say an issue, but one thing that happened was I lost my vision, most of my vision, to a traumatic brain injury. And so to wake up in a hospital and learn that the life you knew is basically not really what it's going to be anymore, and I also learned I lost my dad in that accident. To experience those things ever is very difficult, but especially at 15 when you're trying to figure out who you are, to have that taken. And I remember still being in the hospital and having team meetings, and there was always somebody at the team meeting, usually a couple people from the Commission for the Blind, with direction, showing us, here's what we need to do, here's how we're going to do. And that's kind of the beginning of my story. And fortunately for me, the Commission for the Blind, though at the time it was the Services for the Visually Impaired, have always been there for me, no matter what I needed. As far as my employment journey, I have worked a variety of jobs. I did the wages program a couple summers as a student, which was a wonderful experience, my first taste of work.
Open Harvest Natural Foods, Nelnet, call centers, economic assistance for the state of Nebraska, and now I'm a part of the NBE, a blind vendor at the Lincoln Regional Center. And no matter what I've needed, whether it was special headphones so I could work at the call center, or magnification resources, or whatever it may be, they've always been there and always willing to step in and help. And the words that I think of when I think of the commission are direction, strength, skills, support, confidence, opportunity, security, and fulfillment. Because of all the services that have been available to me, not only am I in the workforce and successful in that and have the security of that, but I'm fulfilled because I know I'm able to live up to my potential. So thank you for being a part of that. And thank you for your time.
Now, I do have things to share with you today.